Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You needed all the alcohol yesterday if you went there to watch the Saints game. They have a 50-foot TV. They have 136 draft beers. They'll be there New Year's Eve. The LSU is playing Louisville against Lamar Jackson, who probably win the Heisman Trophy. That'll be fun, a 10 a.m. kickoff. They're open early. They have what you
really
need.
Think he's winning the Heisman?
Who else is winning it, Andrew?
Dude from Clemson? I think that dude from Clemson's pretty good.
Yeah.
Watson.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, either way, it'll be a fun matchup.
I don't think Lamar Jackson can win after laying an egg against Kentucky.
That is true. And it's always fun to beat Bobby Petrino.
It is.
It's going to be a fun. I mean, you know, it was a disappointing year for LSU, but it'll be a fun bowl game. So the Pelican House, they have everything you need. We still got four more Saints games to go. Head out there, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. This game was a
sucked.
It sucked so bad. I don't know, Kevin, what surprised me more, that the Saints got their ass totally kicked, or Coach Cutout coached circles around Sean Payton.
That's the more surprising thing.
I mean, he did.
That's the more surprising thing. Yeah.
Yep. What would be more surprising than that?
I would say if Jeff Fisher coached circles around Sean Payton,
which has happened numerous times, by the way.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You're saying this is a trend.
Andrew.
Yeah, but didn't PJ or whatever, Pete Carmichael, yeah, PJ, didn't Pete Carmichael call the plays this time, and that's why Sean Payton's taking control of the offense again?
No, well,
allegedly.
No, Carmichael. This was the second straight week that Carmichael didn't call plays.
Yeah, I could have.
So Sean calling the plays has had amazing results one week and disastrous results the second week.
Andrew. Well, the good news was when you get your ass handed to you, special teams can't lose you the game.
Yeah, it didn't really factor in. Although they did have a blocked kick, I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Well, it was blocked.
It was tipped. Yeah,
it sounded like a four wedge that four iron that he hit to the ground, like it took a chunk out the ground first. Andrew, what was more responsible for the Saints' undoing? The defensive secondary sucking and just getting roasted by Stafford, or the offensive line surprisingly getting their ass handed to them?
I mean, as bad as the defense was, I think they kind of played good enough to allow the Saints to keep hanging around until the end, really until that 66-yard breakdown on pass defense. Then you felt like it was over, but... You know, they were playing pretty good red zone defense. They were keeping them. They were keeping the scores to field goals. And so, I would say offensively, you know, when you score 13 points, I mean, the Saints just—they're not good enough anywhere. You know, not on special teams, not on defense to survive scoring 13 points. So, you know, when you're paying a quarterback $100 million. And, you know, you invest that kind of cap in him. He's got to put up more points than that or you lose every
time.
Dave,
I feel like your boyfriend, Mark.
Are you blaming this game on Brees?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm blaming it on the offense, and Breeze is an extension of that. And I definitely don't think Breeze had a good game. But, I mean, yeah, I think Breeze had his hand in the loss, absolutely. I don't think it's squarely on his shoulders.
If you woke up Sunday morning and you said Breeze is going to have 3 interceptions, we'd have all said the Saints are fucked. If I'd have said the Saints have scored 13 points, you say the Saints were fucked. But, Dave, the interesting thing I thought was I felt like Detroit – the way they played, they were thinking, well, we're going to cover with a bunch of guys and we're going to not necessarily dare the Saints to run, but we're going to see if they can against our former. And I think your boyfriend, Mark Ingram, being hurt was a very underrated problem in the game for the Saints.
Mm. Interesting hypothesis.
You don't agree with that?
No, I don't know. I think 3 interceptions was a huge factor in that. You know, and like Andrew said, the defense was playing well enough to give the offense a chance. And every time that the offense seemed to have a chance, it seemed like Drew Brees was throwing an interception and ending that opportunity. So
yeah, but guys, I think we're really missing the important point here. Brandon Cooks did have 7 catches.
Oh my God, Brandon Cooks!
I didn't even notice he had that many. I didn't think it was that many.
I liked my Sunday mornings having a splash report because last year was every week Sean Payton's going somewhere different. He's going to San Francisco. He's going to Michigan. He's going everywhere. So I enjoyed having the splash report back into my life. Kevin.
Okay, that article. Wait. That article was ridiculous. That was not a report. There was no. He wasn't citing any source. It was a pure speculative article, and everybody blew it out of proportion. And
say per sources. He didn't.
No. No quotes in it whatsoever.
It was a purely speculative article that everybody just blew up and said, "Oh, this means Brandon Cooks is trying to is being shopped around or whatever."
It had no quotes. It had no, it had no sources, like sources from the Saints say they're thinking about it, or sources from Brandon Cook say he's unhappy. It was just sort of it had to come from.
I could definitely see the Saints trying to shop around Brandon Cooks when this offseason comes up. That was basically what he said.
My favorite is when he says, per sources familiar with the Saints' way of thinking. That's my favorite because
that could be me. That could be me.
That could seriously be like some dude that like talked to Mickey Loomis at the coffee shop one time like 7 years ago.
I mean, I'm familiar.
They didn't even say that in this article.
I'm familiar with the way the Saints think. Me and Kevin, he could source us. Or the Saints are probably going to trade up in the 2017 draft.
Exactly.
Familiar with
exactly.
The I mean,
good. Yeah. Here's a source familiar with how the Saints think. They're going to fucking trade up again.
The source was angry and adamant. And it's Kevin in his boxers while he watches WWE reruns on his iPad.
Now, hold
actually,
on now. I've got it paused.
I'm watching Japanese wrestling. Hashtag sources.
Andrew, the offensive line, we were worried about it in August. It was really bad yesterday. Is it?
Yeah, they were dominated.
This is not being a glass half full guy, but I will say I think it's the one good thing to come out of yesterday is the Saints cannot fool themselves and say, you know what, we can go into 2017 and it'll be okay. We'll bring back Jari, we'll have Calamede, Armstead will get healthy, and Zach Strief will have another year just as good, and it'll be okay. Like yesterday proves to them when they play a good, solid playoff team, it's not okay. So. At least I feel like they can't go into 2017. They're going to have to do something at the offensive line. But the question is, what do you think they're going to do?
Well, first of all, I got to give credit to the Lions. I mean, I feel like we've been dogging the Saints, and you know, I have to say,
people on Twitter that's a
7-4 team that came into New Orleans, and you know, Matt Stafford absolutely lit up the defense. I mean, he was incredible. I mean, there was a stretch there where he was like 19 of 20. I mean, he was just incredible. And then I thought maybe the most underrated part of the game was just their front four, their ability to get pressure,
Their ability to just create traffic and problems. And, you know, we always talk about how edge pressure is not a problem for Breeze compared to pocket pressure. And I just thought Haloti Nagata was just a huge problem all game for the Saints. I know he's older now, but he was awesome in that game, super disruptive. And I thought, you know, the rookie, A'shaun Robinson out of Alabama, looked good. And Tyron
he's old,
Walker
too. He's like, if you've ever seen that dude, he's like 50.
Yeah, he looks like he's 50. But
he was
Tyron
the guy that
Walker,
everybody was mocking
Saint,
to the Saints this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought their interior, and you know, that's really, you know, I thought, you know, obviously Kelemente had a couple holds. Jerry Evans had a hold. Max Unger had the terrible snap. I just thought it was the interior line that, you know, obviously Pete gave up the sack. But, yeah, I really think top to bottom, the offensive line, to me, this was their worst game. And I think part of it was the way the Lions played the Saints. I think they were happy to rush four, and, you know, their defensive line is good, and it did a good job of getting pressure. And so they were content to kind of drop seven guys and cover guys. And Slay, you know, did a fantastic job on Michael Thomas, you know, of really taking him out of the game for the most part. So, you know, they really had six other guys to cover the rest of the receivers. So that made it tough on Breeze. This was really a game, you know, going back to the Mark Ingram comment, to me, this was a game where, you know, you look back at his 22-yard carry. This was a game where Ingram really could have run and had a big game rushing. And I think this was a game where the Saints really could have that's where they could have made a dent in this defense. And unfortunately, you know, they get stopped on 2 third-and-ones. You know, the first one's a bad snap by Unger. The second one, Ingram leaves injured. And so they have to roll with Hightower, who can't get a yard. And so then they're already down two scores, and now you're feeling this pressure. Like, we can't really commit to the run, because if we don't start throwing, like, if we go three and out again, the game's over. Stafford scores one more time, and it's going to be impossible to come back. And so the Saints started throwing every play, and Ingram wasn't healthy, so they couldn't really run him anyway. And I just think that totally backfired, because I really feel like if Ingram had been healthy and able to run the football, you know, this was a game where if it was close, they would have committed to him, and it would have been a different story.
Yeah, Kevin, I feel like B.W. Browner doesn't get enough fan vitriol.
B-dubs?
B-dubs. I feel like he doesn't get enough fan vitriol. He's pretty awful, as Dave would say.
I believe Dave would say pretty, pretty, pretty bad. Pretty bad.
That is what I would say.
Pretty bad.
But I mean, do you feel like when you think of the defense, like, who does your wrath go to when you watch the Saints defense?
I kind of just look at it as like a collective.
Like the Borg?
Yes, yeah, like a collective of mediocrity.
Man, they...
I mean, I don't know. You know what it is? I think it's because the offense hasn't clicked enough this year that it's felt like the defense has done just enough at times to where if the offense was more competent, or actually as the season, the overall season theme, if the special teams was even remotely competent, that this team would have gotten wins.
Yeah, that was coaching malpractice for Detroit not to pooch kick. Like, they were kicking in the end zone a lot, and I was like, cool, that's awesome. Just kneel. I mean, seriously, if you watch the Saints, like, wouldn't you pooch kick inside the 10 every time? Like, why wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, holy, this special teams. I don't even want to talk about the special teams. They're just so bad, and they're going to doom the Saints eventually. Dave, I guess with this game, with the Saints, clearly it was their worst performance of the year. But did this sort of in your mind kill off every hope and dream and delusion that we had about a winning season and playoffs and all that. Is that done with?
Playoffs.
I mean, just mathematically and as far as the standings are concerned, yes, it certainly does. I mean, they have to win the next four games, and I think
they haven't won. They haven't won three games since. They haven't won three games in a row since 2013. In case you were wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a team that they can't play.
When you're ready to write them off.
No. They'll go like. They'll go 2-2 in these last four.
That's fair.
One other fun stat. Name the only team since 2013 to not spend 1 week above 500 in the NFL.
The Saints.
The Cleveland Browns have been above 500 since then. I mean, you know, it's
probably because they started the season 1-0 at some point.
No, they were above 500 for a good bit in 2014. They crashed and burned, but they were like 6-3 or something, 7-4.
Oh yeah, you know what? You're right. I remember that.
So before we get to Twitter questions and all that stuff, because we don't. I follow the Andrew model of I don't openly root against the Saints to lose. I don't openly root for them to lose until they're officially eliminated. But Kevin, are we to the point in 2016 where really the only true enjoyment we're going to get out of it is Schadenfreude for the Falcons?
Oh yeah, I definitely think Schadenfreude is the best is really the only medicine that we have left. I mean, it's like Schadenfreude is basically our Lorenzo's oil.
I mean, if you want, if the Saints, the only win we really give a damn about now is the Falcons game to end the year, right? That's it, right? I mean,
no. All the games matter. I mean, look, I'm under no illusion here.
What are you, a baseball fan?
I'm under no illusion here. The season's over. I mean, we should all understand, embrace, and realize that. But, like, you can't tell me that we should not care about the result going into Tampa. Like, the goal here, no matter how unrealistic, is that they run the table. And I think if they run the table, they're probably going to win the division. And they might make a wild card because the Redskins lost. So, there's still something to play for.
Well, here's
I don't think it's going to happen, but like you can't tell
you're
me going
in.
Here's
you guys don't think they can win. Like if you look at every matchup in isolation, they can win those games.
Well, here's the thing. We don't think they haven't won.
It's not happening.
They haven't won.
I didn't say it was happening, but it's not like I'm going to lose.
Here's a more realistic question, and I'll start with you, Dave. Will the Saints still be mathematically alive for a playoff spot in two more weeks?
No, absolutely not.
Kevin?
Well, I think they're probably mathematically done if they lose at Tampa this weekend.
Let me pull up the schedule here.
I mean, Tampa Bay has been playing pretty damn well lately, so.
Yeah.
And you're getting them at home.
Much to my goddamn chagrin.
Saints always play Tampa well at Tampa.
The thing is it's a division game, so like anything.
Tampa hasn't beaten the Saints at home since Jimmy Graham destroyed Sean Payton's leg in 2011. In case you're wondering.
Oh yeah, they play the Bucs twice, so they still got the Bucs twice. They go to
and
the
Falcons.
Cardinals and then the Falcons.
So will they be alive in 2 weeks, Kevin? For the
I feel like they win this game at Tampa, and then they get crushed by the Cardinals.
I tell you what, I'm more optimistic than Dave on this one because, they can play the Bucs close, so maybe they can eke something out. And because the Cardinals are not good.
Who's chewing ice?
I think it's Dave
has been constantly chowing down on something this entire podcast.
Either ice or fruit.
That is such bullshit. I've been on mute this entire podcast. Shut up.
Are you telling us you haven't been eating something?
Just now, but not the entire podcast.
Okay, but I tell you what are you eating, though, Dave?
A frozen ice pop.
Close enough.
Nailed it.
A flavor ice.
So, yeah, I can see them somehow eking out wins against the Bucks and the Cardinals, but I don't see them beating the Bucks twice.
If you subscribe to the theory of maximum pain, get to 7-7 and then heartbreak on Christmas Eve in some sort of special teams disaster. But
or maybe they win three in a row and then implode at Atlanta. That would be fun.
Exactly. I think that's maximum heartbreak.
Yeah.
Because if they beat the Bucks twice, then I think the Bucks would be eliminated from playoff contention. I think. And then you're looking at them and the Falcons would be the
And a three game win streak, we'd be all juiced up.
Well, here's the thing though, if the Saints and the Falcons end tied at 9-7, who gets it then? That's what I don't know. Like, does it?
Well, if the Saints were on the table, they'd be 4-2 in the division. And hasn't Atlanta already lost to Tampa? And we're assuming they'd lose to the Saints, so that puts them 4-2 at best.
Yeah.
And I think they still have to play Tampa. I think so. I mean, we would have to lose.
They have to play Carolina.
Okay, so we got to root for Carolina in that game.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
No, hopefully Cam Newton will wear.
But that's
a tie.
What I'm saying. Like pregame for that. What if that's what I'm saying. Like, not that this is gonna happen, but say Atlanta loses to the Rams, and then the Saints and them both finish 9-7, and they're both 4-2 in the division.
Then it's conference games, okay. And I think
it doesn't go head to head.
No, well, yeah, I think the Saints only beat the Chargers, so they only have one AFC win, and let's see. The Falcons, did they beat the Broncos? They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Chargers. The Falcons beat the Raiders, correct?
Yes.
So they would be 2-2 against the AFC, which would mean the Saints would have a worse AFC record, which means they'd have a better NFC record, which means the Saints would own the tiebreaker.
Sweet!
Go do one of those simulators. Somebody who's in front of a computer.
Well, I just did it for you.
You just did it.
I don't know if I trust you 100%.
I promise I'm 100% correct.
Now somebody has to go to the simulator.
I'm positive.
All right, hang on a second.
I'm positive about this.
I got my iPad in front of me.
So.
All right.
So we'll
get our answer in like 30 minutes.
So.
I hate you.
As Kevin gets distracted by wrestling videos.
Yeah, my damn dog's climbing on. My dog's climbing on it right now.
The farmersonly.com.
So now we've got some. So Kevin, so while you look that up, we've got some questions. This is from. Oh, and by the way, people, thanks to Ben and Carl and Joe for all donating this week. We appreciate it. Donate when you can.
What are we apologizing for?
Oh no, we don't have to apologize. They didn't. It wasn't three figures. But again, if you want us to apologize for things like the Bay of Pigs or Obamacare or
Code Reds in Guantanamo Bay.
Code Reds, slavery. Just donate three figures, and we will apologize for it. Or it can be football related too. If you want us to apologize for the Saints signing Andre Royal or Cam Cleveland getting hit with a sack of quarters or the Billy Joes, you go right ahead. Just donate three figures, and it's all yours. This is from Timmy. He asks, "Is Sean Payton?"
Timmy.
Oh, this is a loaded question, but what here is Sean Payton the Barack Obama of the NFL? He produces average results while maintaining above average likability.
Don't start with me.
That's a good.
It's a reasonable question.
It's a reasonable question. I will say, Sean Payton goes 7-9 again. Now the dome was pretty lively yesterday, but they had a lot of empty seats. And I know they had a lot of empty seats versus the Rams. And I know those seats are sold. But old man Benson, in spite of what Twitter thinks, he's still all there. And he was mad in the preseason. And he takes note of those empty seats. And I'm telling you, if they go 7-9 again, next year, Drew Brees' contract is up. I'm telling you, they're all on notice because four straight 7-9s, the ticket base starts to get a little squeamish and that sort of thing, and Drew Brees could be gone. I mean, I think next year becomes an issue. This is from TMI Third. Andrew, how many pieces short are the Saints? Seems like it'd be special teams coaching, an edge rusher, a cornerback, and what?
Definitely a guard. I mean, I don't think you can count on Jari Evans past this season. So I would say definitely an edge rusher. To me, that's need number one. I would say a corner. Yeah.
Why is Kruger still playing, by the way? Like, why?
Kruger.
I'm ready for the Edebali.
Is it because he's
I'm ready for Edebali Wood.
Is it because he sets the edge? I mean, like, what is he? What
yeah,
is,
I think they feel like he's decent against the run, and I don't know. I mean, you don't know. Here's one thing we don't know. I sense that Kruger is like a good teammate. I sense he's a good just guy to have around. Mm-hmm. I think he's a professional. And I just think Sean Payton likes him, you know? And so I think he maybe tolerates, you know, I mean, it's kind of like Browner
no
last year. It's a little bit.
Why is
like
it Sean Payton's decision? Why is Sean Payton deciding who is starting on the defensive line? He should not be involved in that decision.
He's the head coach.
Usually, he should not be involved
every,
in that
every,
maybe
every,
that's part of the problem.
Everything
he shouldn't
that,
be meddling
everything
and interfering
that,
with the defensive
well,
coordinator's
we
job.
Don't know that that, we don't know that that's
everything
true.
That,
I would say there's no real alternative. That's the answer you're looking for.
Great. I asked people to name a song to sum up 2016 as well. Boat Lawyer said, "If drinking don't kill me, our kicker will, George Jones."
Is that an actual song title?
I'm sure it is.
It's country.
I think it's George Jones is "If It's Drinking Don't Kill Me, My Wife Will." I think I'm not a huge George Jones fan though. So I do like the old country, but he's just not.
All right, I've got
so,
the tiebreaker.
So boat lawyer taking a little liberty there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's smart though.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've got the liberty. I've got not the liberty. I've got the tiebreaker scenario to break a tie within a division between two clubs. So, and I'm going to go
I wanted you to go to one of those playoff simulators and enter in who wins what game, so we would see who automatically wins.
Shit. Are you sure those exist?
They do. It's Yahoo's. Yahoo's got one.
All right, hang on.
Andrew.
Playoff machine. All right, I'll figure that out.
All right, Andrew.
Yeah, playoff machine is what you want to look for.
Dave, should Sean Payton be fired if the Saints don't win 10 games next year?
Held. If the Saints don't win 10 games? If he has a winning record next year, I'd say he gets to stick around.
Man, next year is dicey because Drew Brees can leave and they can't tag him. And it, Andrew,
9-7, I think, keeps him around.
Andrew, this is a fun question.
Brees is under contract for next year.
Yeah, but I mean, But I mean, if Brees is awesome again next year, the Saints cannot tag him.
Yeah.
So this is from Dylan too, Andrew. Over under Falcons 8.5 wins. Their games are the Rams, the 49ers.
Okay, that's a win. That's a win.
Carolina and the Saints.
It's a win. I'm going to say over.
I mean, they've got to.
That's a cupcake schedule right there.
I mean, they're a mess though, because they're missing Trufant. They're going to be without their left tackle, and Julio Jones has turf toe.
They're playing the Rams and the 49ers. How bad we housed them this year?
I mean, but isn't...
And Carolina is done.
Yeah.
Done.
Stick
a fork in them.
I just feel like Atlanta, I just feel like they're going to gag up a game. Now, I don't know that the Saints can get the next three wins to make the game, the Saints-Atlanta game, matter for the Saints. But I just feel like Atlanta's going to stumble in one of these next three games, and they're going to have to beat the Saints. Now, it may be they need to beat the Saints, and it doesn't mean anything for the Saints, or Tampa gets it. But I just feel like I could – something – some Atlanta's going to Atlanta, and
– Okay. All right. So I've – okay, here's what I got. Now, I didn't do this for the for every other goddamn team in the NFC. I just did this for the Falcons and the Saints. If the Falcons and the Saints both end up 9-7, I've got Atlanta losing to Carolina and to the Saints in the season finale. The Saints would win the division, and they would be the fourth seed.
Yeah, but the question is if the Saints went out and they're both 4-2 in the division. That's the question that Ralph posed. So assuming they beat Carolina and lose to the Rams or the Niners.
Oh, so you want them to lose to – well, wait. I think they were only had one loss in the division.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But we're assuming the Saints would be their second. So they would be tied in divisional record.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go back.
I think Don Tanaka has the winner for the song that represents the Saints.
Dan Takano, you mean? Do you mean Dan Takano?
Yeah.
Okay. If the Saints win out and go 9-7, and the Falcons beat Carolina but lose to the Saints, they would be 10-6 and they would win the division. Now let me go to.
Well, right, they have to lose one. But we're saying they have to lose.
You want them to lose
game.
To the Niners or the Rams? Do you care?
No, I don't care.
All right.
I think either way, the Saints win the division. That's what I say.
Atlanta would still be the fourth seed. So let me try with the Rams then and see if that changes anything.
Yeah, that's the winner. I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones is the song for the 2016 to sum up the Saints season.
Yeah, it would still be Atlanta in the fourth seed and
that's
the
not
Saints
correct. That's not correct.
That's incorrect.
That's incorrect. Now this go back and read the tiebreaker.
This is why we fact check people. We are fact checking live.
Charlene says The Road to Nowhere by Ozzy Osbourne.
All right. NFL.
What about Road to Nowhere by the Talking Heads?
Yeah. Tiebreakers.
Okay, this is a good question, Andrew. This is from Eric. Rate in hindsight the wisdom of the Armstead extension on a scale of 1 to 10.
I still give it a 6. I'm now nervous. I would say it's not a 10 because of the injuries, but I mean, I'm hopeful that he's going to get this fix in the offseason and he'll be okay.
I mean, if they hadn't assigned him, he'd probably be going on like a 1 year deal for next year. Like it'd probably be like a 1 year prove it deal. But you might not have him; he might leave. You know, so. But
all right, here's the deal. I'm looking at the standings right now. Atlanta already has 3 conference losses. The Saints have 4. If the Saints run the table, they would still have 4 losses in their conference. If Atlanta loses 2 more games, the rest of their games are against conference opponents, which means they would have 5 conference losses, which means in any tiebreak, if the Saints went out, they would own the tiebreaker over Atlanta.
You want to run down the 12? I'm running down the 12 scenarios for breaking a tie within a division. 1.
Okay.
Head to head.
That would be tied.
Which would be tied. 2. Yeah. Best win-loss percentage in games played within the division. That's assuming they both end up with 4-2.
Right.
3. Best win-loss percentage in common games.
That trumps conference record?
Yes, it does. Conference record is 4.
Okay. I was wrong.
So
I know.
So kind of the Saints are kind of screwed then. 9-7 gets it to Atlanta. What if it's a 3-way tie? But no, it can't be.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what if the Saints win out and Tampa only loses twice to the Saints? And then it gets fun. The Saints are
well, we got to win out in the wild card then.
Yeah. If the Saints win the next 2 weeks, I'll be stunned. All right, speaking of, the Saints are going to Tampa. Tampa is a I think Tampa's a 4-point favorite. But let's take a look and see. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a 2.5-point home favorite against the New Orleans Saints. Kevin, who you got?
Tampa's 2.5-point favorite?
Yep.
Damn it.
1-4 in a row. Kansas City, Seattle.
I'll take the Bucs. I would take the Bucs and the points, but the dope in me says that the Saints win by a point.
Who's the hero?
So I'll say 24-23.
Who's the hero then?
Gotta go with Lutz. I say he kicks a field goal in the last minute.
Dave, who you got?
Is it partially blocked as it goes through, though?
It probably is.
Man, I think the Saints are going to lose, so I feel like I should just predict they're going to win, because that's probably what will wind up happening. When you think they're going to zig, they zag. So, no, I'm going to say Saints lose. Tampa Bay's pretty good right now.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. They're getting hot when you want to get hot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say... I am going to say Bucks win 32-27. And the jerk of the game for the Saints will be... oh, what the hell? I'll say Will Lutz, too.
Andrew, who you got?
Just when we are ready to write them off and think that they're terrible, they're going to surprise us once again. I think Breeze is going to bounce back and have a good game. Breeze isn't going to have a second terrible game like this in a row. So I think the Saints win. They're going to go on the road and beat the Bucks. I'm going to say 29-22, 7-point win. And I'm going to say that Jarris Bird has a pick six. He'll be the hero of the game. First pick six since 2013.
Wow.
Or 12, whatever it is.
I'm going to say Saints.
And the Pelicans just lost in double overtime.
Awesome. To who?
The Grizzlies.
You still have the league pass, Andrew? You are a dedicated soul.
Sunk cost, baby.
I'm going to say Saints are going to win 28-27. And the hero of the game is going to be Tampa Bay kicker Roberto Aguayo. He's terrible. He's going to miss like a 35-yard kick. It's going to be like the Saints are done. I can't believe they gacked this away. Tampa's going to kick this gimme field goal, and the Saints are going to lose, and he's going to shank it. And the Saints are going to be – we're going to be like, I can't believe the Saints just won this game. So your hero of the game is going to be Tampa's kicker, and the Saints are going to be alive for another week. That's my prediction.
All the week.
Lock of the week. Century of the week. So you can find Andrew's blistering grades on Saints Nation. He was throwing fire today, saying that the Saints special teams are like Ebola and they might be contagious and infecting Thomas Morstead. so you can go there.
What was that?
Well, no, I was afraid that the special teams disease had gone airborne.
Infected
Morstead.
That was good.
Seriously, he never has a bad game.
So you can find that. You can go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave, have you written anything this week?
Me, no.
No. And me and Kevin are on the Twitters.
Okay. You need if the Redskins finish, if the Redskins get to 9 wins, they're getting in because they would be 9-6-1.
Okay.
So I'm just telling you that.
What's their record right now?
They're currently 6-5-1.
Okay. So they just need to lose 2 games.
Yeah.
Well, they play a bunch of NFC East Giants opponents. That should be feasible.
The Giants are currently 8-4.
Yeah. They're locked into 5.
So they're pretty much locked in.
So
Green Bay and Minnesota are both 6-6.
It's going to take a minor freaking miracle for the Saints to be mathematically alive on the final Sunday.
Oh, it was going to take a series of miracles for them to be mathematically alive in the final Sunday.
But because if they win the next three,
they'll be alive.
It's impossible for them to be eliminated going into week four. Yeah.
But that's why it's taking a minor miracle, just for that to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But anyway,
the Jets are putting up quite a fight tonight.
Oh yeah.
What's the score?
They're losing 41-10 to the Colts.
The Jets need to hire Nick Saban. They really do. I'm just going to put that
out. Yeah, get him out of the SEC, please.
Just going to put that out there. So
somebody hire Nick Saban.
Anybody, please.
To do anything.
Oh, man. Jack.
I can't believe we went this podcast without mocking Matt Ryan or Cam Newton.
I have to say, if you're on the Twitters, find Deadspin's Twitter feed. They have Bomani Jones.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Lists off all the Falcons' failures of the past 25 years.
And I don't know if it's the past 25, at least the last 15.
And it is glorious. I think he's a he's either a really bitter closet Falcon fan, or he's serious.
Yeah, he's admittedly a Falcons fan.
He's bitter though. He's angry, man.
I know. I love it. It's great.
So it's glorious. So go there, find that. So
you realize that's what we would be if the Saints never won the Super Bowl, right?
That is. It would be. But the Saints have won a Super Bowl, and we will lord
and
that
the Falcons
over them.
Haven't.
And we will lord that over them till the end of time. So
or until they win a Super Bowl.
I'm not gonna mock Cam Newton because the Panthers are irrelevant. And the fun thing is they're gonna be bad again next year. Because the dirty little secret is Ron Rivera is not that good a coach, and last year was just a freak thing. So, for Dave.
But as long as Cam has his suit and tie.
Yeah. He looked dapper. He looked dapper. Oh man. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin. Until next week, the bar is closed.
Ricky Jackson dresses better than Cam Newton with his pork pie hat.